called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. You know, the bottom line is here is, what would the Lord have us to do? What's the Lord's example? You run across something, well, that's contrary to what I think or my situation. No, it doesn't have anything to do with your situation, and it doesn't have anything to do with your opinion. It has to do with the example Jesus Christ left and what it says in the Bible, and this is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. And so that's what will help us, if we can get a hold of that. You hear me? Amen. And so then you see the word again in verse 7. Likewise. Now it addressed the women, and it goes right back. And the likewise goes right back to the same place. What would Jesus do? That's what the bottom line is. It's not based on your tradition or what your buddies think. I'm talking about, that may be the topic of a television show. That's not what this is. This is addressing men, Christian men, that want to do right by God and they want God's blessing on their marriage. That's what we're talking about. Amen? We on the same page here? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. The context is them. The context is the wife. The first part of the chapter dealt with the wife. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I did that Monday night. Tuesday night. I dwelt with them. Now, in my case, you know, that refers to the wife, but I got a wife and a daughter. And it says them, that's plural. And I was acutely aware as I sat in the New Amsterdam Theater on Tuesday night watching Mary Poppins. Come on, me? I was dwelling with them according to knowledge. I mean, I sat there going, what am I doing here? And I look over at my wife, she's smiling and she's having a good time. I look over at my 17-year-old daughter, man, and she is lit up, man, like a Christmas tree. And I sit there going, this doesn't make a bit of sense to me, and there's a million places I'd rather be, but I'm dwelling with them according to knowledge. Do you understand that that's what it's about sometimes? That's what it's about. You know, listen, I'm not even ashamed to admit, before it was over, I had a good time. Amen. And so don't let that out. I don't want anybody to know that. But, man, I shouldn't have told you. That's what time of that is. But likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Let me tell you something. It doesn't say weak vessel. And I know some women that are not weak at all, not weak spiritually. I know some ladies that are more spiritual than I'll ever be. I thank God that I got some praying for me. Don't get the idea, that you're the big tough guy. Spiritually speaking, man, the ground is level at the cross. But physically speaking, the Lord knows that the woman has different temptations in different areas and different besetting sins, lay aside every weight that does. So all that stuff, then you do, and he's got to put the responsibility on somebody. He puts it on you. The responsibility to be the head, responsibility to be the leader, responsibility to be the protector, and it falls on a man. It says she's a weaker vessel. Don't take that to mean weak. I've seen women who've lost their husbands. I've seen women whose husbands will not be the spiritual leader supposed to be, rise to the occasion. They're capable. But they've also got a position that God intended them to be in. And so do we. And if we'll do what we're supposed to do, they can be in the position they're supposed to be in. But there's responsibility on both parts. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. And so it says, as under the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of, heirs together of the grace of life. Amen. Now that's, I tell you what, if we ever got the idea that they're second class citizens, second class Christians, the women, I'm going to tell you, now I'm not saying all this with them present, okay? I'm telling you this to you guys. What I want you to see is that in God's order of importance, the Bible says that if they'll do their part, you do your part, you're heirs together in the grace of life. That's not 50, that's not 90-10, that's not 60-40, you know what I'm saying? Heirs together, that's 50-50. And then it goes on to say that your prayers be not hindered. And so I can get ahead of myself. Like I said, I studied so much stuff for these three messages this morning. I don't want to, my mind's going a million places at once. But here's what I want to concentrate on first and foremost with this right here. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Knowledge. There's an obligation on your part to learn some things about them. Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say according to understanding. Amen. Sometimes marriages struggle because we don't understand our wives. Can I just tell you today that I think there'd be a problem if you did understand them very well. Amen. I would think, you know, a man that really understood how a woman thought would be way too in touch with his feminine side. Amen. Amen. If I got a feminine side, I don't ever want to run into it. I'll kill it. Amen. But the Bible doesn't say understanding because we're different. Or maybe even better said, they're different. Amen. They're very different. Let me illustrate it like this. A guy's walking along a beach in California, and he found a lamb on a beach, and he picked it up, and we're not talking about, you know, light bulb lamp. We're a little, you know, with a genie in it. Come on. And he's looking at it, and he rubs it, and a genie comes out, and, you know, we're in hard economic times. This genie was only granting one wish. Not the three, okay? And he says, okay, listen, thanks for letting me out of the thing, the lamp. Well, I'm going to grant you one wish. And the guy says, wow, okay, that's cool. And he's looking out at the Pacific Ocean, and he says, I have always wanted to go to Hawaii. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. But, you know, I'm afraid of planes. You know, I don't want to get on a ship. Here's what I'd like you to do. If I can have one wish, you can do anything. He said, yeah, I can do anything. He says, okay, I want you to build me a road. I want you to build me a bridge. I want you to build me a highway from here, California, over to Hawaii so that I can drive over there and see it. I've heard a lot about it. And that genie looked at him and said, are you out of your mind? He said, what? He said, you know, 2,500 miles across the Pacific Ocean. Do you realize how much concrete? Do you realize how much steel that would take, sink piers down? You're out of your mind. That's impossible. Even for me, that's impossible. Said, you got to pick something else. And the guy said, well, okay, you can't do that. Let me think, how about this? Could you make it so that I can understand women? And the genie said, would you like that two-lane or four-lane? Amen. Well, amen, because there's something harder than building a bridge to Hawaii, man. And that's making it so that a man, so the Bible doesn't tell us to understand them. Amen. The Bible tells us to dwell with them according to knowledge. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Brother Chris and any that have come in. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And what we said so far is that the Bible tells us to dwell with them according to knowledge. Forget about understanding. There's some things you spend any time with your wife. Some of you are newlyweds. Some of you are oldiewedds. Whatever. Amen. But there's some things, just by virtue of proximity, of logistics, of being around them, there's some things, if you're paying attention, if you want to be married very long, there's some things you're going to learn about them. You're going to learn. Knowledge has to do with learning, amen? And so the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. And I'm going to just give you some things, and not because of my great experience. You don't even want to know my record, amen? You don't even want to know my background. I'm going to tell you what, I got a great marriage, amen? But it's because I got a great wife. Maybe you don't even want to hear all the things I've blown in my life. And I'm not going to tell you either. But I got a great wife, and I got a Bible. And so a combination of listening and learning, and it's just as hard for me as anybody else, even though I'm a preacher. Amen. There's some things that I've got a hold of that just have to do with what the Bible teaches, what I've learned, and what I've observed, and what God's told me because I beg Him to tell me because I'm doing this. Amen. I need to be sitting there and somebody else doing this, you know. But this is how God set it up. Let me tell you some things that they need. Listen, it says, well, with them according to knowledge. Let me tell you something, what I know about not just my wife, but women. And you know this too. And it's that they desire attention. Attention. Women need attention. Did you hear what I said? Women need attention. Yeah, a lot. Amen that. Amen. That's what, don't get ahead of my point. I'm preaching right now. Amen. Now let me tell you how women spell love. Amen. How do you spell it? L-O-V-E. That is not how women spell love. Amen. Women spell love. T-I-M-E. Amen. We're busy men. You folks in New York, you're the busiest people I ever met. Amen. That's not a condemnation in any way. Amen. I love coming here. But I'm going to tell you something. Men, just across the board, can keep too busy to fulfill their obligation to give their wife the attention they need. You can go to the middle of Alabama where people talk slow, walk slow, do everything slow, and as soon as the guy gets home from work, he's digging around in his shed for his fishing pole and his tackle box or his shotgun, amen, and his coon hound, and he's out the door, and the wife's going, but today, we'll talk about it later. We got this in common, man. Listen, women need attention. They look at you giving them attention as a significant indication of how much you love them. Amen. If you don't talk to them, amen, somebody will.
That's good.
Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, I'll read it to you. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And there's a lot in there, but what I'm going to bring out today is this right here. He was talking to her because he could tell that she needed conversation. She was the one that he spoke to. It doesn't say that he ever said a word to Adam. And like I say, we as preachers, man, we can go 10 directions with that, and I have. But I'm just saying this. Maybe if Adam was giving her a little more attention, maybe the devil wouldn't have been so successful at striking up a conversation with her. I'm going to tell you what, there's some Christian marriages that are on the rocks because the man, spiritual, reading his Bible, soul winning, participating, doing all these different things, didn't give his wife the attention she needs. Tell you what, there's somebody at work that will. There's always somebody with a sympathetic ear when the husband doesn't understand, isn't compassionate. But I'm going to tell you what, devil, that's who this was. She'll find somebody to talk to. You better make sure it's you. Listen, we're talking about Adam and Eve. Bear with me here. Adam and Eve, amen. Can you imagine what Eve must have looked like? She was perfect. God had just created her, perfect woman. This is before the curse. Even women look pretty good after the curse, amen. And they didn't even have clothes yet, amen. You know, listen, I'm going to be the first to admit, and like I say, I'm not in with the women in the room, and talking was probably not the first thing that was on Adam's mind at that stage. I mean, let's face it, it says, whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam was in the naming the creature business, amen. When he saw Eve, and then standing there, no clothes on, he went, whoa, man! And God probably rolled his eyes like he does with us sometimes, but said, okay, that's it. That's what it is. Woman. Amen. And that's but I'm going to tell you what, she needed more than that kind of attention. She needed the kind of attention, amen, that women need when they need conversation. Communication. We're going to get to that. Let me ask something. A wife spells, how does wife spell love? Come on, help me out. How do you spell it? S-E-X. That's how men spell it. Sometimes that's the attention men give when they want sex. Amen. Then they give attention. I'm going to tell you what. Women are wired different, man. They need more attention than that. Amen. If you want to keep her to talk, keep her from talking to somebody she shouldn't be talking to, you better show her some attention besides just when you want something. I know that's deep there, man. I know you're amazed. I know I'm deep. I mean, hold the applause, the holy applause. What are we talking about? We're talking about communication. Amen. I know, man. I mean, it might be some of you in here. You're famous. You don't even know it. You're famous. Amen. You got streets named after you. You go to New York and there's streets named after people. Some of you got streets named after you when it comes to communication with your wife. You know what the name of the street is? One Way. Communication. I mean, I was in the military, man. Communication was the ability to get the message to and receive orders from and things like that. Communication's a two-way street, amen. And it better be in your marriage, too. Communication isn't just you barking orders or laying down rules. Communication is you being able to listen. And I'm going to tell you what's going on in a lot of marriages. the men aren't doing any listening. Amen? Now, I understand that there's a factor in this communication thing that complicates it for us. And here's what it is. Women, a lot of times, speak like a different language completely. I understand that. But the burden is still on us. The burden is on us to dwell with them according to knowledge. The burden is on us to make the effort. God didn't put anything on you he didn't think you could handle.
Right.
Amen? God didn't put anything on you can't do. The burden had to be on somebody. And so it's on you and me. We like being ahead, right? Yeah. You better be glad he didn't tell them to dwell with you according to knowledge, because, you know, then they'd be the boss. And so with every liberty comes responsibility. And now listen, let me just say it like this. If you don't know how to communicate with your wife, if you always have to give your opinion. See, you're not listening. You're just gathering information, and then you're going to make a judgment. You're going to make a decision. This is what I think. This is the way it is. And she walks away going, you know, did we just have a conversation, or just did I get another lecture? Listen, if you don't know how, you're not communicating effectively with your wife, if you always, I'm not saying there's not time for that, but if you always have to give your opinion. Let me tell you something else. You don't know how to communicate with your wife if you have to raise your voice to get your point across. You know what? When a man starts heavying up on a woman like that, it's like a spear right through her heart. Amen. And that's what men do. Especially when the women start making sense and they start asking questions and the men don't know how to answer, what do men do? I listen, I'm guilty of this. They start getting loud. They start acting like, hey man, you're questioning, and I'm going to tell you what, that's not communicating. I wouldn't let an employer treat me that way. I'm not going to be talked to like a dog by anybody. Now, what would make you think in your wildest dream that you've got the right to talk to your wife like that?
Amen.
You don't.
Right. Amen.
You don't. Amen. In this day and age, women don't take it like they used to. Amen. They leave. Listen, you don't know how to communicate with your wife if you can't let her finish her sentence or her comment or her thought without you interrupting. You're not communicating. Your communicating skills need some work. Next year we'll have a communication seminar. Actually, we're having one right now. Because the Bible says to dwell with them according to knowledge. And what they need is attention. And this is one of the ways. This is a very important way to them. They're not like us. They're not like us in a lot of ways. But they're not. They like to talk. Amen. I heard a study. I hate to quote things, you know, and I'll admit it if the statistics aren't accurate. Let me just say it like this, and this is generally the gist of the thing. Let's say if a man and a woman each speak, you know, 10,000 words a day, and a man goes off to work in a day, and a woman's been there with children all day, during the course of the day, the man's used up a lot of his, and the woman's got them all waiting for the man to come home. And he's done talking. Did you get the point? I mean, I probably read that and it was smoother, but you understand, women are talking to little kids. I hate it. My wife goes, it's time for sleepy time. I'm going, quit talking like that. The kids are out. But that's what they do. They spend all their time talking to children, and they need some. And you're out there in the workplace, you're talking to people, like adults, communicating, and they need that too. They need that too, and they got to get it from you. Some of them are out there working, I understand that. But listen, you don't know how to communicate with your wife if it's just a matter of fact that you always have to have the last word. If there's something wrong with you where you think if she made a point and you can't say, yeah, you're right. Yeah, sometimes she's right. I know, don't let that out. Don't let them know I said that. Burn the tape, amen. But let me tell you something else. You don't know how to communicate with your wife if you ever speak to her like she's a child. Boy, and I've seen that happen, man, patronizing thing. Men send her talking to a wife, be there, ask something, say something, and then the guy will look down and talk to her like she's a kid. I'm going to tell you what, you're hurting yourself when you do that kind of stuff. Man, they're more sensitive. That stuff messes with them.
Communication with your wife has given her the freedom to disagree with that with you on an issue, on a point, without fear of that you're going to be offended and get mad. You're not communicating with your wife if you take it as an affront to your manhood or whatever it is, because she doesn't see everything just like you do. I mean, that you did marry a woman with a brain, didn't you? Of course, I know some men, I'll stop right there. She might have an opinion of her own. Amen. In the 70s, there was a movie called The Stepford Wives. I didn't see it. Amen. I didn't waste my time foolishness like that. I understand they redid it, and the gist of it goes like this, from what I understand. The women were like robots. They're programmed, yes, honey, whatever you say, dear. Amen. Oh, gee, I wonder who came up with that, you know? I wonder what genius invented a movie like that. Here's the thing my wife liked to say. She gets this look on her face and she goes, yes, my husband's always right. I think that was a line in the movie. My husband, listen, that's what some of us like. But I'm going to tell you what, you better be glad you didn't get that. I didn't get one. I didn't get a robot. I didn't get a wife that says, oh, my husband's always right. And I'm glad, too. Here's why. Because I'm not. Neither are you. Listen, I'll admit it right here. My wife's IQ is higher than mine. Amen. She got a master's degree in psychology, rehabilitative counseling. Amen. She's been, all these years, she's got one patient. Amen. And I'm still not cured. Amen. Olivia, I got a 17-year-old girl out there sleeping. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time that God caused a great sleep to fall upon Adam during the creation of the woman. It said, made him sleep like a teenager. Amen. I understand that. I got one out there. She's sleeping, man. She hopes we don't get done until 2 o'clock. Some of you are scared we won't get done until 2 o'clock. I got a daughter. Sure, her IQ's higher than mine. I don't have to think I'm the smartest person in the world. What I have to do, and what you have to do, is take this Bible seriously. Amen. You can be right even when you're dumb. Amen. Amen. If you do it God's way. Amen. I'm blessed because my wife's no dummy. I wouldn't have wanted a dummy homeschooling our children. Yeah, we're homeschoolers. I mean, we grew up in a motorhome. Coast to coast, graduated 3, got one to go. Starts her senior year on Sunday. Amen. They all did real well. Did real well. It ain't because of me. You know what I am? I'm the greatest hindrance to homeschool that ever existed. Why? Because I'm driving around the country and I'm going, up there, church attraction, field trip. And I'd call a field trip at the drop of a hat. And my wife's going, you know, we're supposed to have 180 days of school. And da-da-da, you've had 88 days of field trip. I'm going, this is important for their future education. They need to see the sights. And I guess maybe because I just wanted to see the sights. I don't know this. I know this. The reason they've done as well as they did is because my wife takes that kind of stuff seriously. I'm glad somebody, I mean, she's taking algebra with the kids. I'm not, okay? I'm outside pumping gas. That's what I do, okay? And But I wouldn't have wanted an airhead trailing along behind me as I'm in a different church every single week. Oh, this is Miss Virgin. I don't want a wife like that. I'm glad God didn't give me a wife like that. Amen. Listen, the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. And if you don't dwell with them according to the knowledge that she desires and deserves attention, if you don't learn how to communicate with her in order to provide her that attention, you're the dummy. Because you're dooming your marriage. Amen. And you don't have to, because the Bible tells us some things. And the Bible tells us things because they're not inherent. They're not automatic. Amen. Listen, we got criminals and dope dealers and perverts and the dregs of society, and all this stuff's clueless to them. But listen, it'll be clueless to us if we don't go by the book. Amen. Really, just because we don't do all these things, we got a leg up. You got a leg up because of Jesus Christ. And if you likewise, okay? And he set the example. Okay, so that's number one, is attention. Attention. Dwell with them according to knowledge. They need attention. Here, let me give you something. Here's a guy that did not dwell with his de facto wife. I mean, that's like common law, I guess. Okay. The thing he says, Australian woman kills her boyfriend who stopped her from playing Springsteen. Amen.
And she stabbed her husband to death because he stopped her playing her favorite Bruce Springsteen CD. And she said this, I couldn't even play Bruce Springsteen on my stereo. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That's what she said to the police. Amen. That guy was not dwelling according to knowledge. Amen. Bruce Springsteen was way more important to her than he realized. Amen. I'm 49 years old, and I want to play. I'm going to tell you what, I would have left there long ago, man. What a... But that's not dwelling according to knowledge. Amen? Verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Amen? Let me tell you something. That ain't more than attention. You know what honor includes? Affection. Affection. Listen, I was in a bike gang. We weren't real affectionate. We weren't affectionate with each other. We weren't affectionate with women. Amen? But women deserve and desire an affection that's not automatically just part of the package with a man. And 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 3 says, let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. Now that's talking about the marriage bed, and usually men don't have any problem, amen, giving women attention and affection that time. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so it said there in 1 Corinthians 7 that the husband is to render unto her, and her to him, due benevolence. And that means owed. There's a certain amount of affection, and it's physical in that context, that you guys owe each other. The husband and wife owe each other. It's like due benevolence, like when the rent's due, will you pay it? Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Wife, women are wired different, and they need more affection than that. Amen. And let me just say this. Outside of marriage, any attempt at anything has to do with sex is sin. And bedroom blackmail is a sin, too. And maybe the women need to hear that more than the men. But I'm going to tell you something, men. Women need affection. Now, a lot of times, affection for a man leads to arousal. So that's why we connect to touching and hugging and feeling. And we start thinking about sex. It's not that way of women. Women are different. Women desire, I mean, it might be to some degree, I mean, that's part of love and everything, and that's normal, but women also desire non-sexual affection, and that's what I guess what I'm trying to tell you. They like to touch. They like to touch. You know, I'll be sitting around my wife, and I'm going, oh, that drives me nuts. I say, what are you, a touch freak? You know, that's what I'm... You know, what a dumb thing to say to your wife. That's something we used to say on the street, man. Guys would come up and they'd put their hand on your shoulder and be rubbing you. I'm like, get your feet off me, man. What are you doing? But women are different. I lost some of you. That's okay. Amen. Just so long as you don't lose this. Women like to touch and be touched innocently. They like to hold hands. Amen. They like to hold hands. They like to hug. They like to walk arm in arm. Amen. That's a good thing. You know what? You did all that when you was courting. You did all that when you were dating. You're probably still doing it because you've only been married. Keep it up! Because she liked it then, she liked it now. You know, my wife says, you know, when I asked God about marrying her, and God said yes, so I just said, look, I talked to the Lord, and I asked him about us getting married. She's 44, I'm 45. You know, we both got kids and everything else. We both got, you know, our stories. And I said, God said yes, so I just thought I'd let you know, and we need to set a date. And she's like looking at me like I'm from another planet. But see, I dropped the G word. God told me, so, you know, she wants to please God, so I got her. I got her. Boy, did I find out there's more to this thing than just, you know. See, women like to do these things right here. Snuggle and cuddle. Just personally, I don't even like those words. I can't even believe those words came out of my mouth in a group full of men. I don't like, you know, it's yuck, you know. But I came from the military. I was a paratrooper. I was a bike gang member. You know, we're not, but it's important to them. Somebody asked my wife one time, they said, Miss Sue, Brother Spurgeon, he appears so gruff and rough. I'll bet deep inside, he's really just a big teddy bear, isn't he? And my wife stood there and she went, No, actually, he's not. Hey, man, I'm not a teddy bear. I try to do what I'm supposed to do. I try to be a good husband. I try to dwell according to knowledge and give honor, amen, under the weaker vessel. All that, I try to do that. But, man, this stuff, some of this stuff, you got to work at. You got to comprehend that the obligation's on you. They've got needs, and it's up to you to meet them. And you expect them to meet the needs. Amen. You expect them to do your kids right, take care of your kids. The kids spend most of the time with them. You expect them to cook for you. You expect them to be in the bedroom when you want to be. But God expects you to do some things. And what they need, man, is in a realm that we don't even normally think in. That's why we're doing this. Okay? Say, I know all that. I know you do. Maybe God just wanted me to say it to myself again. Because it helps me to study this. It helps me just to make a point to concentrate and contemplate this subject once in a while. Does it make sense, anybody? Verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So you got attention, amen, and you got affection as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. So you dwell according to knowledge by giving attention, and they deserve it. And you give honor by giving affection, and they deserve that too. And they want it, and they have a need for it that you don't have and that you don't understand, and that doesn't matter. The burden's still on you from the Bible to provide it. Amen? I'm not talking about walking out of here doing a bunch of foolishness. I'm talking about getting a hold of some of the concept that I'm saying here and talk to God about them yourself. Say, God, what about everything that loudmouth preacher said? What about this area? What about that? What can I take that he said and implement to make my marriage better? I'm not trying to say you need to go up there and do this or do anything. I'm saying, man, get a hold of some of these biblical principles and talk to God about it. And if you do it with a desire in your heart to be a better husband because you want to please God, then things will change and they'll get better. Or continue, amen, on the right track. Amen. Listen, man, your flesh is just like mine. It's inherently selfish. And you can have all the principles and you can know this and know that and have degrees on a wall and all this experience and 15 marriage seminars under your belt. And if you don't remind yourself of these things once in a while, you'll just start getting selfish. And so will your wife. And that's why she's upstairs being reminded too of some things she's supposed to be reminded of. That's what all this is about. It ain't because anybody thinks they're expert on it. I'm not expert on it. The only thing I'm expert in is making a mess. Amen. But thank God I got a Savior that's expert on cleaning up messes. Amen. All right. So then, last of all, it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, women need attention. And they deserve it. Real attention, communication, and they deserve affection. And that's not affection when you want something. That means they like to have affection. It's part of how they conceive that they're loved by affection, by touching, by holding hands, stuff like that. And again, some of this stuff, even as I say it, it's going to be repeated again this morning. Maybe it's because it needs to be. Amen. And so they need attention, they deserve it, and they need affection, and they deserve that too. And you're not at the Union Hall today. You're not at the bowling alley. You're not at the ballpark. And you need to understand that part of your life needs to include having some compassion and toward your wife. And that's not all this roughhousing with the fellas type of thing. And we miss that sometimes. And it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. That means she's pretty important to God. That means she deserves your appreciation. Attention, affection, appreciation. They need and they want to know that they're appreciated. And they got a million things going on in their life to make them feel like they're not. And part of it's us. Even in our fast lane, trying to provide and do all these things, sometimes they can just get the idea that they're being taken for granted. Anybody in here like the idea of being taken for granted? Why would a wife? I don't want to be felt like I'm just taken for granted. Amen? By anybody. But if we're not careful, we can make the wives feel like that. Even if
It's not true. Here's what we don't understand.
They don't think like we do. Now, the burden's got to be on somebody to bridge that gap, and the burden's on us. That's what the Bible says. Amen. I'll tell you something. You want to make your wife feel... The context is being heirs together in the grace of life that your prayers not be hindered. We do this little thing. Matter of fact, this is a good time. Where's... You're young. Would you come here? I want you to give one of these to every man in here. I want you to give... this is what reminded me. Now, this is a 3x5 card, and printed at the top, it says this. What I wish my wife knew about me. Now, between... we're going to break here... in a while, and then we're going to break again, and then we're going to have a last session, and I'd like to collect these up at the end of the last session, and if you don't get it done or you can't stay for them, you can give it to me tomorrow, but I just would ask you, write there something, think about it, write down what I wish my wife knew about me. Don't sign it. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not writing a book here. It gives me a little overview. Amen. And my wife's doing the same thing upstairs. So, you better hope she don't sign it. But I'm going to tell you something. I did this in a church once before, or a couple times, one of the things that the wife's card said, wish my husband knew about me, my wife was reading them off to me today, you know, some of them, and it said, I wish my husband would pray with me more. Now, I got a prayer life, but I'm the first to admit, I'm not praying with my wife. I don't make a... Man, I get up, get busy, get going. Sometimes some of you get up, get busy, get going. Your wives aren't up yet. Sometimes maybe your wife's up and gone. I don't know all that, but I'm going to tell you this. There is something, man. We have seen this come up on enough cards to know that there is something important to the wife about praying with her husband. I've heard guys say, stand up and say in the court of the matter, if you don't pray with your wife, you know, you're reprobate, all this. Boy, I tell you what, if there's anything, we can go from one extreme to the other. I'm not trying to go from one extreme to the other. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody. I am telling you this. For them to feel appreciated spiritually, the Bible said as heirs together in the grace of life, for them to feel appreciated, I'm going to tell you one way you can make them feel more appreciated is just get down and pray with them. That means you pray. That means let them pray. Man, it's not just you. Bless God. Okay? It means pray with them. Pray together with them. That would show them that at least spiritually somehow you appreciate them. Let me tell you something. It says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And it says, I got to read it. As being heirs together of the grace of life. If you're not doing those things, if you think you're some super spiritual prayer warrior, mature Christian, and you're not doing those things, your prayers aren't getting out of the basement. In other words, you're not the prayer warrior you think you are if you're not treating your wife right. You're not near spiritual as you think you are if you're not ministering the way God told you to in your home, that your prayers be not hindered. Man, I got people that are dear to my heart that I want my prayers to get through. I want to be able to pray for souls. I want to be able to pray for my 91-year-old dad who I almost lost a couple months ago. Amen. I want to be able to pray for my children. I want to be able to get on my face before God and ask Him to forgive me when I blow it, because I blow it. And I don't want anything hindering them prayers. And right there, that ain't a secret formula. It's been there for 400 years, right there in black and white. But we read through it, dwell with Him according to knowledge. And I think the only thing we get out of that verse is, well, they're the weaker vessel. Well, there's a little more in there than that. Amen? Listen, the Bible says two shall be one. Now, I'm going to hit that. I got a message on that. We're going to preach a little later today. If two shall be one, then neither one is complete alone. And we need them. And we need them to be women. And they need us to be men. And they need to do what God wants them to do. And again, that's what my wife's talking. And they need us to do what we're supposed to do.
And we're supposed to do these things right here. Now listen, our society has messed things up when it tries to promote this idea that men and women are the same. And so now you got women driving bulldozers and just to prove they can. And they can. What's the big deal with driving a bulldozer? But you got things all out of order. And you got women doing things they weren't built to do. And you got men prancing around like fairies. You know, I get everybody's getting a puke on all that mess. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? Let me say this to you and I'll close because I lost you on all that. And that's fine. I'll cross it out. Amen. Quit trying to understand them. Quit trying to think that you need to understand how they think. No, you're not. No, you're not. The Bible's not putting anything on you that you can't do. That'd be a lifelong endeavor that'd probably end up kind of disappointing. You're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge. You're supposed to pay attention. You're supposed to learn some things. You're supposed to be sensitive to them. You're supposed to admit that you don't know everything. Because, you know, if you thought you did, let me be the one to tell you. You don't know everything! Do you? Boy, I don't. And the longer I'm saved, the more I find out, the less I know. Amen. Let me tell you something. They're not supposed to be just like you. They're different, and it's okay. Learn to enjoy the difference. And learn to overlook the goofy stuff. Women do goofy stuff. I understand that. I'm not telling you they don't. But listen, my wife is upstairs right now. You know what she's telling your wives? Learn to overlook the goofy stuff they do. Amen. It's a two-way street here. Amen. Let me give you something here, and I'll be done. And that ought to get amen, if nothing else does. And in the course of doing some research for this, like I say, this isn't my long coat, and not my forte, and I read some things, and so I got the following. It came out, just a little blurb here. It came out of something written by a woman. It was written by a woman. And here's what it said. Christian ladies, it's from their perspective. Preacher had, we're discussing the idea of having my wife speak to the men and me speak to the women. That totally scared both me and my wife to death, so we're not doing that. But there would be some virtue to that kind of thing, because she could give you some insight into how women think, maybe, that you won't receive from your wife. Maybe that's something for someday, but I don't know. But this comes from a woman's perspective, so you're going to get a little insight that way. Christian ladies are sick and tired of domestic Hitlers who try to dominate them for their own purposes. Now, there's some woman, some researcher, some lady with a college degree. You want to respect degrees? Okay. Here's somebody that had enough sense to write a book, and she said, Christian ladies. You got plenty of Christian ladies in this church. I don't know who's who. I don't know who's married to who. All this, I don't come around that much. It'll take me a while. But I know this. There's some real Christian ladies around here. And I'm in church every week somewhere. And I know a bunch of them. I know a lot of great Christians. And I'll tell you what. You folks, man, you're second to none. It's a real blessing. It's a real joy just to be around people that Jesus Christ is everything. And we just need to try to please Him. Man, we can get along. Okay? But Christian women don't need domestic Hitlers, you know. In other words, macho men who try to rule them with an iron fist and have to be right all the time. You want a successful marriage, you better learn to be humble enough to admit when you're not right, to say you're sorry. That's hard. That's hard for church members. That's hard for pastors. That's hard for wives. It's hard for husbands. It's important. Real important. The Bible says humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. If you don't, He can do it for you. You'd be better off to, you know, you follow me? Alright, here's what else is that. Women are tired of men who act like prison wardens. Neither wife nor children deserve to be made to feel like prisoners of a South Georgia chain gang. With yes sir boss as the only acceptable response out of fear of evoking displeasure and therefore consequence. And there's women that, and I know there's plenty of mouthy women and all that, I understand all that, but I'm talking about Christian ladies, amen. This is a viewpoint from a Christian lady. There's a lady that maybe she passes out little cards, I don't know when she speaks, I don't know where she gets this.
But, man, your wife or your kids shouldn't be made to feel like, you know, they're going to be put in a penalty box if they have an opinion that differs from you or if they question something you say. Listen, I used to say, Dad, why? And he'd say, because I'm the dad, that's why. You know, there's times when that really is just all there is to it. And there's a time when that's not all there is to it. Okay? That's really just an... You know, when a kid's little, you don't have to explain to him why he shouldn't pet a rattlesnake. You don't have to reason with a three-year-old. But there comes a time you're going to teach anybody anything. You can't be intimidated when they ask you a question. And that's why men bark sometimes. It's because they're intimidated that they're being questioned. You're not very secure in your manhood if that's you. And you know what I know? Every one of us got that in us. Because I do. Amen. But you know what? I don't want to be me. I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to be the kind of Christian. I want to be the kind of husband he wants me to be. Amen. I got a long way to go. They're tired of spiritually weak, milquetoast husbands who fail and sometimes refuse to assume their scriptural role in the home. The scriptural role in the home for the man is to be the spiritual leader. And I know families, and I see them on Sunday. I'll go to church, I'll see the man on Sunday and the woman every single night. And it's obvious they hoot them all. And I understand jobs, I understand. But I'm going to tell you what, it don't take too many years going in and out of a place to figure out who the spiritual giant in that home is. And responsibility is for the man to be the spiritual leader. And you know what women really desire? Even though their mentality is messed up by the age we live in a lot of ways, they really do desire. The Bible says in Genesis 3, your desire shall be to your husband. They really do want somebody to show them the way. And that's our job. All right? Women are weary of powder puff husbands who demonstrate all the robust spiritual leadership of a parked minivan. I don't know where that came from, but I'm going to say this to you, and I'll be done with this session. I've observed every one of those scenarios traveling around. Domestic Hitlers, limp-wristed, milquetoast spiritual wimps. I've seen all that. And I'll tell you something. I'm glad we got a Bible. I'm glad that we can see from that Bible. Lord Jesus Christ went way out of the way for us. And, you know, he asks us, he gives us some parameters to follow in some areas, and he doesn't ask much of us at all. He doesn't ask much of it at all. Because there's not one thing I've talked to you about today that wouldn't make your life happier if your marriage was sweeter. So you know what? Here's the bottom line. The benefit of doing things God's way, okay, it brings honor and glory to Him. It brings pleasure to Him. It'll bring pleasure to you. It'll make your life better. You know, God doesn't need us, but we need Him. Amen. If we do it His way, we're really the ones that benefit. So, okay, that's it. That's number one today. I don't know what time it is, but I'm done. Yeah, let's take... Is that what they're going to do? Yeah. Let's take a break. 15 minutes. 10:15, is that okay? Yeah. And we'll go till about 11.
Okay, all right. It's probably still coffee on if you guys want to coffee.
Now, please, men, on the cards, if you would.